Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello everyone everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We're so blessed that you're joining us today. You know, many people have been struggling during this past year with the COVID crisis and the resulting social isolation and shutdowns that have been taking place. Many churches have had to cut back or even cancel their services. For many people, church has always been that one place that they could go to seek some semblance of peace, the peace of God. But that has not been an option for many people during this past year. And that takes some special people with a special anointing to try and take that message to the masses in any way they can. The message that God loves you is one that needs to be shared far and wide, especially in the world that we see falling apart around us today. My guest today has several irons in the fire that allows her to do just that thing, to bring hope and God's love to those that need to hear about it and experience it right now. April Metzler is a Christian author and songwriter that draws daily with her walk with God to minister hope and encouragement to others with a heart for intercessory prayer. And she'll be the first to tell you that you are loved by God when the rest of the world tries to tell you otherwise. She's also the author of the book, Oh My God, My Heart, It Is the Pursuit That Matters, which was released in July of 2020. She also released a music album titled Oh My Heartstrings as well. And on top of all that, she's a podcaster, praise God. She's a podcast host for the RSVP show. Praise God. Help me welcome to the program, April Metzler. April, thank you for taking the time to come on the program with us today.
Thank you so much. I am just baffled here. That was a wonderful introduction. Yeah, thank you. Covered quite a lot. Thank you so much.
Well, April, the first question I always start with is this. Other than that brief information that I just shared, tell us in your own words, who is April Metzler?
Oh, wow. Well, that's a loaded question. Who is April Metzler? Well, first off, I'm a daughter of the King. That one is like the first line entry there. I'm a wife, I'm a mother, and I live here in Oklahoma. Those are just my, you know, titles here in the world, obviously. But I'm a woman that's seeking after God and trying my best in, you know, what I know to do, to honor him and give him glory in what I do. And so a lot of my ministry is, like you said, tied to sharing about God's love. So just letting him go and flow, you know, he's leading and I'm just trying my best to follow. That's about it.
Amen. Well, you released your book, Oh My God, My Heart, It Is the Pursuit That Matters, back in the summer of 2020. And it contains over 350 different scripture verses and quotes. And this book is loosely based, you say, on your own life experiences, correct?
Yes, it's on mine. And then I have friends and you know, family members and stuff that I glean from their experiences. But it's really a culmination of just life, doing life as a woman of God, basically. But it's interesting because I don't name my characters. And so the main character's not named, her husband, her child is not named, the characters that she runs into and she shares about are not named. And so it leaves the audience and the reader that space to just fill in the blank and really empathize and dive into the story and put themselves in that place of this woman. So it's an illustrative way of seeking after God.
Amen. Give us a couple of examples of what the readers will find in your book.
Oof. Of scripture or of...
I'm leaving it up to you. Whatever
in general.
The Lord puts on your heart right now, yeah.
Ooh. One of the biggest examples is that you get to hear her conversations with God. And so that's a really
like that
a appealing big thing because, you know, you don't know what most people are thinking anyways. And so, and for a woman to share her thoughts with the public is definitely not the normal thing. And so the conversation that she has in prayer, the conversation that she has in accountability, where she's sitting there saying, okay, you need to reset. You need to get through this. And are you glorifying God with what you're doing right now? No. Okay. Well, let's do something else. What would Jesus do? You know, but not that cliche, of course. But it's an intimate, in-depth, inside look to what someone goes through in their day-to-days. And so another thing would be each chapter covers a different day, and it's just a glimpse into this woman's life, but it like picks up and then closes, and you get to see a different topic covered in each chapter. And so if you're wanting to look at devastation, I would advise to go to chapter 5, where she's just ends up in this pitiful state of existence on the floor because everything just seems to be falling down around her. And so it's not all happy-go-lucky, you know, I'm walking with a skip in my step or whatever and whistling as I work, you know. She deals with real life. And then,
especially like the story about the in-laws, shall we say, cleaning up the house while you were sleeping and tossed out some very important papers you were working on. Can you just go over that story as an example of some of the content? Because I could relate. I mean, I related to that chapter on so many levels. You know, I am that type of person. You know, there's a place for everything. Everything in its place. I remember one time I came home when I was back in the military. I had some papers. I came in. I put them on top of the refrigerator. And it may have been 3 or 4 months. I came back. You know, oh, I know where I need that information. Went up there. Gone. Right? I'm like, where's the papers that were up here? And my wife's like, I don't know. They were up. I put them up there 3 months ago, you know, and I knew right where they were supposed to be. And now I'm tearing stuff apart like the character in your book was, you know, trying to find it. I did find them, but it took, you know, I related to that story on so many levels. Just go on. I was like, oh, I have to ask about this question. So.
So, that whole thing, that whole scene was in the writing process. I wanted to convey something that would have impact on multiple levels. And so this woman needed to get to the point where she was pseudo traumatized by an event, but it was relatable on a work scale and on a personal scale and on a relationship scale. I mean, it needed to engulf every aspect of her being so that she didn't have, oh, this is okay because this is going right. No, everything just went wrong. So that was what God brought up in my prayer time before I was writing that chapter was, this is what you need right here. And so I just started writing and it poured out, and it was just, as you say, it's totally relatable.
And I kept waiting for, you know, like, as she's praying to God and all this, you know, and then she looked up and they were sitting on the shelf. It didn't happen. I was like,
Yeah, that chapter closed with no conclusion. So again, that was another thing. You know, we don't always have the answers or the solutions, and God doesn't give it to us immediately. Mm. There is no just resolution. So there's this waiting on Him and having faith on Him that she had to go through before the solution. And that's why I waited another chapter or two before I like, oh, by the way, everything's good now.
Because like I said, it took me about, for the papers I was talking about, it took me probably 20, 25 minutes of tearing stuff apart, you know, going in drawers and all this before I finally found the one sheet of paper I was looking for, you know, that had the information I had to take back to work. And But, you know, and so I had resolution. And I was not, let me preface this by saying I was not born again when this was going on. So I was not praying the same words your character was praying. Let's put it like that.
Right? I'm sure you were saying all sorts of things. Where are these papers?
Oh boy. Yeah. And, but I had resolution, you know? So I'm reading through it. It just stopped.
And I have to tell the audience, I only sent him chapters 1 through 5 on there. So he has no clue what happens after chapter 5. Poor guy. I did not mean to do that to you. I guess you'll just have to get the book.
I just had to get the book. Praise Lord. Good plug. You've been podcasting a while.
Well, yeah, no, I people say that, but I've only been doing it since January. So,
Well, you focus on sharing God's love with others, and I can appreciate that, especially in this day and time that we're living in. How has this work helped you to grow during the pandemic and all that's taken place since early 2020?
Yeah, well, golly, immensely. You know, there's a year and a half that it took to write that book. So you would have to rewind before the pandemic hit, when the pandemic hit, and then to the middle of the pandemic before I was done with the whole process. So yeah, that book has seen all sorts of kinds of different circumstances in the world, and it doesn't even know it. It's just a book. But growing wise, it made me be quiet. That was the biggest thing in my writing. It made me come to him first in the mornings. You know, before I sat down and wrote, it's very important and very heavy on my heart to not put pen to paper without his consent, if that makes sense. Some of my writers that are Christians will appreciate that, but I didn't want anything out there that he hadn't put on my heart or inspired add in there. And so even in those conversations with him that I share, that she's having as the character, I am literally doing my best to put myself into those situations and circumstances and prayerfully consider what that conversation with him would look like. So there is a lot of mirror imagery in that aspect of it, in my own personal walk, because that's how I talk to God. So there was a lot of intimacy growing as a result of that, because it was like I had to think about some things that weren't necessarily the same exact experiences, but then there's others that I had to put myself back into circumstances of my past that, you know, I wasn't seeking God in at the time. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, okay, but now what does it look like? What does it look like if I were in those same situations and seeking God like I do now?
Yeah.
What kind of conversation would you have, April? So there's a lot of growth, a lot of healing that took place, because there was a couple of chapters I totally avoided for like 3 months. Mm. I was like, I'm not writing those. I don't want to write those, God. You know, I was wrestling with God in those particular ones because I didn't want anything to do with them. But I got through it. It's published.
Amen. That's right. So you were already preparing the book before COVID and all that started. What about your music album? Were you working on that before the crisis, or is that as a result of the crisis?
Well, okay, so I've been songwriting for about 20 years, and so I've just never put anything out there public. And I had a reality check when my daughter turned 12. that I needed to quit blaming everyone else and making excuses as to why I wasn't moving forward with my music, because I'm a songwriter and a singer. I don't play instruments. You see all these instruments, but I know chords. That's about it. I am not a player by any means. I know how things are supposed to be pieced together, and I have that knack to build chord progressions, but I'm not a player. And so I had so many excuses. I had so many music industry folks that I know that ended up just, hopefully they don't take this personal, but they flaked on me when it came to putting the music to the songs that I'd written. And it was like, you're talking about 10 years of trying to get a partnership working, and it just never worked. Mm. And then I had to overcome a few other things, but the music and songwriting and everything came to fruition because I had a friend of mine, a sweet sister in Christ, that nicely but bluntly told me that, you know, I have to come to a point in my life where I let it go. You know, I need to own up to the fact that I am the reason that I'm not putting myself out there, you know, and I have a choice. And so she held me accountable. It was Amen. A good, you know, slap from a friend type yep. of caliber Amen. Thing like yeah. the scripture says. But, and so I stepped out after a birthday present. My daughter and my husband actually bought me studio time as my birthday present. Wow. On last year. And so they're like, she's putting her stuff out there, is not, you know, radio ready, you know, is not fully produced or anything. I was just doing what I could do with my software that I was learning, and definitely not professional, so amateur. And but I was doing it, you know. I took the step out. They saw me doing that, and they were like, she needs to be in the studio, and we're going to get this professionally produced, and this is what we're going to do for her. She's investing all this time and learning all this stuff. And so they're the reason that it Amen. Came out, actually.
So, so who are the musicians on your recordings? Were they from your church or what?
So there is a gentleman that is in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He is a music producer, but he's also someone that is like a music prodigy. So he's sort of a all-in-one band himself. Wow. And so he actually did all of the musical accompaniment.
Wow. Oh, wow.
And then my daughter is the one that does the vocal harmonies on the album.
Oh, praise the Lord. So, Amen. That yeah. is awesome. Because I'm picturing, you know, did they record this at their church, or, you know, did the band have to pack up and go to the recording studio? No. I thought for sure you're going to say a praise and worship team at church.
one man. That's, and he's awesome. He's wow. a brother in Christ, and he's wow. got a heart for God, and he held me accountable with the word on one of the songs too. I appreciated his candor, and I was like, I want to ensure that these lyrics do not, you know, contradict anything that is in the word. And so I ended up having to do a little bit of a rewrite on one of them.
So. Amen. But that's awesome. That yeah. is really cool. Outstanding. I didn't even know that was possible. So,
you know. So you were talking about how, before the show, backstage, you were talking about how you got started with just a flip phone and audio recording, right?
Yeah, exactly.
He got started with just a boombox and recording his wow. own tunes. And so he's been doing it for 30 years, and he's saw the industry start and flourish. And so he's just a
awesome.
Very talented, gifted, anointed brother in Christ.
Wow, that is so cool. Well, you are also active in youth as well as music ministry in your church. I know the COVID restrictions put a damper on being yeah. invited out to sing and all that as a guest at other churches, especially since you launched your album. But now that things look like it may be getting loosened up a little bit, are you reaching out to be able to go minister by song in some other places?
See, that would be a whole other step of faith that I would be putting out. But, and not a lot of people know this, maybe like a handful of people, but I'll share it with you and your audience.
We won't tell anyone.
Yeah, right. I am in works with a tour that goes out and does outreach nationwide here in the U.S. as well as worldwide. I don't perceive to be going on any international tours that I know of, but what they do is they go and basically just set up a pop-up type of band platform, and it's a big production. It's not little by any means, but they partner with extreme professionals like skateboarders and BMX riders and stuff like that, and they reach the community through music and a show, basically, entertainment, but they spread God's word through that means. And so I am working with them, and I've been called back to visit with them in May in Nashville. And so cool. I haven't gotten there yet, and I don't know what, you know, tomorrow holds, Amen. But it is in the works to go Amen. Spread songs awesome. Out there.
Amen. That's awesome. Awesome. Yeah. So when did you first discover your love for songwriting?
Oh, my. Wow. The youngest memory that I have of music is, well, okay, so my dad used to have a country western band, and they used to tour around, you know, regionally, and that was back in the day, and it was, you know, the bar scenes, the different event centers and stuff like that, but, you know, it was two-step and type of music, and local, back in the 80s and 90s and stuff, and so, He had this fancy equipment, obviously. He had the headsets and stuff, and mm-hmm. and he purchased all of that himself. And I just remember walking around as a kid with one of those attached to my head and singing through his little speaker that he had out there. And that really was just, I think it was more his influence a little bit to the music aspect of it, but the songwriting really just, it just blossomed through poetry. And so they're really closely related. You wouldn't think so, but they really are. And you can see that evidently looking back, you can see that in Psalms, you know, David mm-hmm. oh, yeah. and his Psalms are.
Amen.
But yeah, so it was probably early on, about maybe 10 or so. I mean, I've been writing for a long time. Even if they were silly little songs, they were still written.
That's right. Well, do you remember the first song that you actually wrote?
I don't know if I could sing it now. I'm sitting here thinking about it, but it was based on the 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So love is patient, love is kind. Mm. And never envies or boasts, yeah.
Amen.
And I
what year was that?
Oh gosh. I was 11. So you're gonna
make me
writing,
adding 10 years or so?
Yeah. Yeah. No. I am, you're not supposed to ask.
I did not ask.
I was born in 84, okay? Y'all do the math.
I did not ask.
No, you didn't. It's okay, though. No. So, 20 years. 20 years. Amen. I appreciate the indirect compliment, though. Yeah, you've only been writing for like 10 years because you look like you're 20. I mean, yeah, that's good.
Glory to God. Who's your intended audience or your listener? Who's the intended listeners for your music? Don't just say Christians. I mean, who, you know, like when you're writing a book, you're writing it for someone. You know, if you're offering a coaching program or a product or service, you're offering it for someone. Yeah. Who is your intended listener?
That's a big question, because when I wrote all of those songs, and my music albums are going to have this, there's a mission-minded focus on the music that I'm releasing, but the first album was intended as an introduction to God's love, and so the audience for that particular album is literally going to be someone that is new to the faith, someone that has strayed away from the faith, mm-hmm. someone that has never even heard of God, and it's like this ease into what that looks like. I know I do have some very biblically founded songs, like the I Call Your Name is talking about the power in Jesus's name itself, but I put that at the end of the album and slowly went to that. And so it builds throughout the process too. There's a story through each of those songs, that just basically says, okay, you know, won't let it break me now is one of those things where it's like, this is just life. You know, you could look at this from a secular standpoint where you don't even know Jesus, or you can look at this through, you know, the eyes of someone that's new to the faith, and you're like, that's right, because in the bridge I sit there and throw out that, you know, all things are possible, anything is possible through Jesus Christ, you know. And so,
amen.
But that's it. That's the only part that I even talk about God. So,
amen.
But yeah, so the intended audience is, it's more where they're at in their faith, or if they're even there yet. So.
Amen. Okay. All right.
Hey folks, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's portion of this great interview with a wonderful woman of God, singer, songwriter, composer, and author, April Metzler. Amen. I pray you're getting a lot out of this intriguing interview. The best part is, we're only halfway through. Praise God. This was just part one of a two-part interview, and if you enjoyed today's episode, you are really going to be blown away by all April shares in part two tomorrow. I'm excited because I know what she's going to talk about. Amen. But you do not have to wait until tomorrow to order April's book, Oh My God, My Heart. It is the pursuit that matters. Go down into the show notes, click the link, order your copy today. Matter of fact, order two. Give one away to a friend. Amen. But be sure to come back for the next episode as we continue this great interview with April Metzler. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing FaithCasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with FaithCasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the FaithCasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. FaithCasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a FaithCaster. FaithCasters, your voice, your platform, your success.